Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So a lot of individuals in this city pay more than 50% of their income in taxes. When you talk about a fair share, how much more than, what is the fair share? What's the number?
I've said that we should increase personal income taxes by 2%.
Is fair?
And my point is this.
Give up more than half of your income.
If you're making $1 million in New York City, or more than that, you can afford to pay 2% more. And the reasons you can afford to do so is because that money will be used to better your quality of life as well.
No. Yeah.
Because when I speak to the wealthiest New Yorkers, I hear concerns about the cleanliness of the city, the quality of life in the city, questions of public safety. This money is the money that will be used to deliver on those things so that we can ensure that we have a return on investment for all of the money that we are raising and spending right here across the five boroughs.
So that was a Zoran Mamdani candidate, Zoran Mamdani, before he was officially elected. And I got to be honest, Ryan, I would actually kind of prefer that we pretend he doesn't exist here in the Midwest. I struggle with it because the Mamdani thing is so freaky scary to observe.
But he's got a nice smile.
That's the worst part. It's the worst part.
It's good for TikTok.
Well, he's the mayor now. So, you know, you listen to him. That was, like I said, an interview before he was officially the mayor, sworn in at the beginning of January. And gosh, you got a feel for those New Yorkers who are out there. Jeroy Murdoch, maybe our favorite New Yorker, back with us. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. Happy New Year, Jeroy. It's good to have you back.
Annie, Happy New Year to you and to our listeners. And we have about 8.5 million New Yorkers. I'm very happy to hear that I'm number one on that list.
That's right. I'm sure they're all
8.5 million.
Yeah, all very concerned that they didn't make the cut. Our condolence to you and your new mayor situation there. I mean, I like I was saying, we're here in the Midwest. There's a part of me who thinks Mamdani is not our problem. But boy, I mean, the mentality, it's going to be a problem for everybody if he gets his full way here with New York City.
Well, that's right. And, you know, as I've warned people, and I've heard people like George Will said, look, it'll be a great idea to have Mamdani in New York City. He'll be a cautionary tale. People will learn from the chaos here that will continue to grow, I imagine. This, I think, is kind of an infection that's spreading. We saw about 3 or 4 weeks after he got elected, the people of Seattle elected a socialist mayor. And she, from all I can gather, kind of makes Mamdani look like a moderate. So my fear is that this is going to encourage people who are either socialist, democratic, socialist, communist, whatever, to run for city council, run for mayor, run for governor, whatever it is. And this infection is going to continue to spread, and it won't be limited just to New York City, unfortunately.
So, you know, when you listen to Mamdani, you know, in that interview he did with Martha McCallum a while back, and he's talking about how if a lot of wealthy New Yorkers pay 50%, he doesn't think 2% more would be a problem. And then he says with that charming smile on his face, he's like, that 2%, it's going to be okay because that 2% is going to go to help those individuals who are going to be paying more in taxes. What do you think about the Democrat Party and their insatiable need to take our money to do for us better than we could ever do for ourselves?
Well, they always want more, and especially when it comes to things like they always say, oh, the rich don't pay their fair share. You know, that's one of their mantras all the time. They never say what the fair share is. I mean, right now, for example, the top 1%, top 1% of people in 2022, according to the Tax Foundation, they earn 22.4% of all adjusted gross income around the country. They paid an average tax rate of 26.1%, which is the highest in the distribution among all taxpayers, and fully 40.4% of all income taxes were paid by the top 1%. So, I mean, does it be 50%, 60, 70? I mean, is there a number that will satisfy these people? They never, I've asked them over and over, what is the fair share number? And they'll never say, they always just say, pay more, whatever it is.
Yeah, so then, you know, they win. Mamdani won in New York City. Is it your belief that the people of New York City knew what they were getting when they chose to elect Zoran Mamdani?
You know, I think some people paid attention to his agenda. He talked about affordability nonstop. I mean, whenever people brought up objections about, you know, how do you explain this anti-Semitic comment, or why are you beating up on Israel, or why are you talking about things like charging higher taxes in white neighborhoods, he always said it's about affordability. It's all about affordability. We want to have a city everyone can afford to live in. I mean, his message discipline was actually amazing. He never got off message, or hardly ever did. He also happens to be very charming. He's a good-looking guy, always smiling. Usually you see socialists, they're angry. There are people like AOC who's angry, Jasmine Crockett is always in a rage, or they're just kind of grumpy and sour like Bernie Sanders. You see Mondami, he's always cheerful, and he's the only, I can't think of any other cheerful socialist I've ever seen in my life, and that I think was part of it. And also the GOP, rather than backing Curtis Sliwa, who was the GOP nominee, you had some Republicans who were voting for, who supported Andrew Cuomo, who is maybe half an inch to the right of Mondami. He's a very hardcore left-wing Democrat, and that split the anti-Mondami vote. So I think he still won 50.1 or 2%. I mean, he still won a majority nonetheless. But had it been a two-man race with Mondami versus Sliwa, I think there would have been a better chance of defeating him than what ultimately happened, which was that he won a majority of the vote.
So we're speaking here with DeRoy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. I was kind of gleefully reading through your latest in the Daily Signal, How to Make Liberals Pay More. So I think this is maybe a solution that would make everybody happy. The liberals love taxes, so maybe they should pay them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Look, you know, Mitt Romney is just the latest one to come out and say, look, you know, I'm rich and I should pay more taxes. And then the next sentence is, therefore, let's raise taxes on people across the board, or, you know, people outside of Mitt Romney. And he suggested a couple weeks ago that we should have higher death taxes, higher taxes on carried interest and so forth. And look, Mitt Romney wants to pay more tax because he feels guilty, or he's super patriotic and wants to give more money to the government or whatever. He's free to do it. He can write a bigger fat check to the IRS and the IRS all of his money if he wishes. What I suggest is something I call the HOT, or hot tax, which is the higher rate optional tax. A very simple idea. You would add an extra line to the 1040 tax formula. It has 38 lines. This would be line 39. It would read as follows. If you are being taxed at a rate lower than what you wish to pay, please enter your desired higher rate, multiply your adjusted gross income by that number, and enter the relevant total. Wire that to Washington pronto. And if you think, hey, I'm being charged, 32%, and I really feel like 45 would be better, or 57 or 93, multiply that by adjusted gross income, send that in. And then people like Mitt Romney and Warren Buffett, these other people can say, hey, I paid extra tax. I feel great. And they can have a nice, warm, runny feeling and go to sleep comfortably at night. And meanwhile, they can leave the rest of us alone and let us keep more of our hard-earned cash.
Yeah, I just think it's a win-win, DeRoy. DeRoy for president, I would vote for you. I think it's a great policy. I don't know if you could get that one passed, a one-vote majority in the House of Representatives. The Republicans, starting with a slim majority and through some, I'm not a big MTG fan, and her resignation really bugs me. But then the tragic passing of Doug LaMalfa from California. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no room for error at this point.
Zero.
2026 Republicans majorities, are they going to stay intact, and are they going to be able to get the America First agenda done?
Well, I hope. I mean, look, this is a dire situation. I mean, I think we're probably within one or two car accidents, scandal resignations. People get better job offers and decide to walk away and stab the entire country, the movement, the party, and the country in the back. You could have either the gavel being shared by Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries, which means all the committees will be split 50-50 and not much will get through. Or, if two people leave or incapacitate or whatever, can't do their service, I think you'll have a tied caucus or tied number in the House. And if it's three, I think the Democrats take over. And as it is now, you have Tom Massie almost never votes with Republicans. He's such a purist. He's not willing to say, okay, I'll take a 5% flat tax, because he wants it at zero. So, he's such a purist that unless something is, 100% acceptable to Friedrich Hayek, Ludwig von Mises, Milton Friedman, unanimously, he's not going to support it. So he's barely there, unfortunately. So this is a very, very dire situation. And the Republicans really screwed up in the elections. in 2024 when they only won a bare majority of about 220. Normally, when you have that big a victory by the same party, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, you'll have about 235, 240 votes historically. They were only about 220, and now they're down at 218, I think. And so if all the Democrats show up, you need 217 votes to pass something. And if you have one defection, you have a tie. If you have two defections, the whatever the measure is doesn't won't pass, assuming all the Democrats show up and they'll vote unanimously opposite the Democrats, the Republicans. So it's a very tough situation. There's all the more reason I think we need to get the Senate GOP to get rid of the filibuster, pass as much legislation as possible, get the House to get it through if they can, and get a lot of these things signed into law. I have been a supporter of the filibuster until very recently, excuse me, you know, but we're not dealing with the Daniel Patrick Moynihan, John Lieberman, Mary Landrieu, John Roe, Democrat Party, where they even they had some sense of checks and balances, and let's not go completely out of control. The Democrat Party that's in there now, these are the people, some of whom cheered when Charlie Kirk was killed, or they came out, refused to come out and denounce what happened. This is a party that ripped the border wide open. These are the people who talk very warmly about political violence. I mean, this is a hardcore, far-left, radical, neo-Marxist party. And I have absolutely zero doubt that if they take over the Senate, that the Democrats will get rid of the filibuster, make D.C., Puerto Rico, and I think probably the Virgin Islands states, and have a permanent extra 4 to 6 or even more Democrat senators in the Senate, which means it's almost that much more difficult for the GOP to take over. Especially we're in a situation like, you know, you and one other person are sitting in a room and there's a loaded revolver in the middle of the table. And either you pick it up or the other person picks it up. Somebody's got to grab it first. And the first person who grabs it is going to be in control. If I thought the Democrats would respect the filibuster if they got a majority, I wouldn't feel this way. But I have no doubt that if they get back power, they'll get rid of the filibuster on day one. And then they will shove their entire agenda through, which is why I don't say it with any glee, but I think it's become necessary for the GOP to beat them to that first before they have the opportunity to do so and completely turn this country upside down.
Yeah, I think it's so important. You can't completely abandon your principles. And to that extent, I have respect for Thomas Massie, but you can't live in a bubble where you don't also enjoy the benefit of reality, to understand that your principles and reality have to exist in the same space so that you can actually advocate for the people. Because if you take your principles back home with you, but you've got nothing to show for it, that's not representing other people. That's representing yourself. And I wish that that would be an adjustment he would make. I don't want him to hand his vote over to Donald Trump and just say, I'll co-sign anything you want to do. But right now, I feel like we're a little bit too much to the other side of that spectrum.
Well, I think, if you're principles and reality can't be in the same ballpark. Is that asking too much? They at least be in the same county?
Yeah.
I think that's fair, right?
100%. Joy Murdoch, a pleasure to have you back on the show. We look forward to many more conversations. It's going to be a wild year, and we love riding through the whole thing with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Likewise, very much. All right, Annie, thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye-bye. Joy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. Check out Project 21 if you haven't before. It's a great organization. All right, let's take a break. Fred Flights is going to be with us in about 13 minutes from right now, and we're going to talk to him about Venezuela, about the up to 50 million barrels of oil that President Trump said, we'll take those from Venezuela. Is this like, I want to know from a guy like Fred Flight.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Who's the vice chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security? Is this something that is going to be met with any sort of welcome in Venezuela? Is it like the meanest thing we can do? Are we the bully on the playground yard right now? I don't know. But a guy like Fred Flights kind of knows things. That's why we're having him on the show to answer your questions and mine at 1:30. Go vote in the YouTube poll. Is Minnesota the state with the worst fraud? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back in a minute.